Shall we pray together? Father in heaven, we again thank you for providing the Holy Spirit. Lead and guide us into all of the truth that is Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you because we know nobody else could have done what has been done in our life if they didn't love us, care for us, protect us, provide for us like you do. And Lord, we just want to let you know that we love you and we appreciate all that you are and all that you're doing. And we've come again in this moment, gathered in our respective places, coming from our different walks of life, to a place of unity. Whereas your word teaches us, now, Lord, we desire that we would be all together on one accord. Every eye and every ear is listening, watching. Every heart is anticipating. Your presence makes all the difference. So we ask, God, if you would be so kind, dear sir, if you would speak to us. Tell us the way that we are to go and what we are to do when we get there. Tell us how to get there, that we don't become distracted or take unnecessary and sometimes convenient detours. Put a hedge round about us that our enemies won't be able to do us any greater harm. And make us stronger so that we can fight and be faithful even unto death. We just need to hear from you. And this is what we have, and this is where we are. So speak to us. And Father, I pray that you'll use me, lift me to a higher place, and give me what I left on the table. And God, even take me to the hidden and secret things than this text, that we might be better served because of preaching. And when we have dined at the table of preaching, then Lord, send us into service. We might help young men and young women, families, strangers, to know that there is a God. And salvation is standing at your door. Forgive us of our sins, we do pray. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen, amen, and amen. Let's put our hands together and give God a praise offering as we move further into worship. Come on, everybody, let's give God some praise. Amen, 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 amen. Grab your Bibles, turn on your smartphones, turn on your tablets, pull up your apps, your Bible app. Meet me in the Gospel of Matthew in the 11th chapter, Matthew chapter 11. We kind of sort around here like the reverence, the Word of God, so we ask everybody who has the ability to stand without physical limitations to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God. It has nothing to do with me or anything. It's just the Word of God that we're standing and giving reverence to that. Amen. It is our life. Yes, it is. If you can't reverence that which gives you life, there's not much left to live for. So would you stand with us, please, as we read a few verses from Matthew chapter 11. Begin reading at verse 25. Matthew chapter 11 at verse 25, which these verses represent the closing dialogue of the 11th chapter. And we want to lift our preaching from that place. If you have your smartphones and tablets ready, whatever version you have, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation of the Bible and pray that you'll follow along in your chosen version. Then Jesus prayed this prayer. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding the truth from those who think themselves so wise and clever, and for revealing it to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has given me authority over everything. No one really knows the Son except the Father, and no one really knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. God bless you. You may be seated in the awesome presence of God. Thank you so much for your presence today, and thank you for being a people of God that still want to hear what God is saying to the church. Would you do me a very quick favor as we move along very quickly? Again, I'm honored to stand before you today and honored to have you with us. But your neighbor may not know how we do things around here, and they may not have been here for a while. So would you put a smile on your face, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor is going to preach companionship, but not without commitment. Amen. Companionship, but not without commitment. I have very vivid memories of my childhood, and I'm sure that most of you do too as well. But I also have some of those memories, Jesse, that stand out more than others. While I was sitting down a few days ago trying to put some thought together, again, as I mentioned in Christian Academy, the more I find in the Word of God, the more I look for. And this particular text caught my attention, and all kinds of things came in the flow of the conversation and study that I spent with God. And I thought to myself, of all the simple and somewhat silly yet significant things that we could do in life, companionship seems to always have a part in it. Nobody wants to be by themselves. Even people who come out of bad relationships and swear off that they'll, in the words of Dionne Warwick, I'll never fall in love again, oftentimes find themselves right back in love again. I wish Jess was here. She'd know both of them songs. But I thought about something in particular from the text that really, again, shifted and shook me, that it made me think about when I was growing up. One of the things that I thought about is those summer trips that we would take with my mom and dad in the back of the old Buick. My dad had a 1969 deuce and a quarter. the big car, and we would sit in the back seat, and we would go from Jacksonville to Orlando to visit with my Uncle Adolphus and his wife, Alveda. The trip didn't take a lot of time, but when you're young, trips seem to be longer than they really are. And so we would set out early in the morning because they lived in Orlando, and the biggest thing to me about the trip and going to Orlando was that Disney World was there. I mean, Uncle Adolphus and Aunt Alveda, all right, but Mickey Mouse lived in Disney World, Orlando, Buena Vista. And so we would take the trip, and when we would get there, as with custom, they lived in a really nice neighborhood, and so we would get off Interstate 4, and we turned in the same place. I became familiar with the landmarks, and so we would turn at this particular exit, and we'd go down a few blocks, and we'd turn again and turn again. And then as you came into the neighborhood, they lived in a cul-de-sac. Now, when I was young, I didn't know what a cul-de-sac was, but I knew what it is now. But as you came toward their house, you drove down through the neighborhood, and their house was one of those kind of houses that if you don't turn, you end up in Adolphus and Alveda Newsom's driveway. They had this really big tree in front of their house. It was a huge tree. I later was told that it was a weeping willow. It offered tremendous shade. And so the long trip from Jacksonville, which was not really a long trip, but we would arrive at Adolphus and Alveda Newsom's house, pull up in the driveway, and oftentimes, as soon as we got in the driveway, my Uncle Adolphus would come outside and sit in one of the chairs that had been strategically placed under the weeping willow tree. My brothers and sisters and I were children of obedience. So much so, Dr. Dixon, that when my daddy would pull up and stop the car anywhere, we didn't get out until my daddy leaned over the back seat of the car and said, "All right, y'all can get out." I'm thinking that if the car had caught fire and daddy didn't turn over to that seat and say, "Y'all can get out," us little young'uns would have burned up in the car with obedience as our testimony. And so daddy would get out, and then mama would get out, and then we would get out. But daddy and mama would walk around and sit in one of those chairs strategically placed under the weeping willow tree. The children would meet with my cousins, and we would stay outside playing around in the yard, and they would sit there. And then it happened every time, just like every other time. They would sit under the tree, and my Aunt Alveda would come to the door. Open the door. She was a very nice lady. Some of you are thinking, well, she should have came outside when her husband. No, Aunt Alveda didn't do that. She would come to the door eventually, having given them time to sit under the tree and talk and enjoy themselves. And she would say these same words every time. "I know y'all didn't come this far not to come in the house." Boy, y'all don't see the preacher. Whole lot of us, if we don't understand the companionship and commitment that Christ is offering in this text, we're going to go all the way to the doors of heaven and not complete our journey by going in the house. It's one thing to take a good trip and to go down to a place and get there, but when you get to the place that you have longed for all your life, the trip does not end sitting under a weeping willow in chairs strategically placed on the lawn. The trip ends when you go in the house. Jesus stirred me, Reverend Uriel, when I read the text, because now read the Bible. I'm going to hurry along. I know some of y'all saying it's already 10 minutes to one. But when I read the Bible, I don't read the Bible for an early exit. I read it for the all-inclusive. And I read the Bible to get my money's worth. You know, I'm one of those persons that I don't really mind paying what it costs if it's worth what I paid. And I feel that way about the Word of God. When I read the Bible, I want to get all the nuggets. And so when I read this story again and again, and I didn't mind taking the long way around, Because I know that when I get there, it doesn't end with a shortcut. And so Jesus comes on the scene, and I know some of you again say, well, Reverend, if you stopped reading so much, you wouldn't preach so long. Well, I'm sorry. You ought to read long too. But the reality is that the story is deeper than the story. Amen. Can I borrow a little time? I'll try to hurry along. But I looked at it and I thought about what he's saying. Why does Jesus even have to say, come unto me? Okay, some of us ain't driving fast. The Bible says, John gives it this way. John says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes. Okay, and Jesus comes on the scene really rather unceremonially. You know, there's no real ceremony, no pomp, no circumstance. Jesus just comes on the scene. He's grown up a little bit, and people know him. I'm sure people know Jesus. You know, they probably saw him down the street a couple times. Say, that's that little boy right there who mama had him and didn't have no husband. You know, stuff like that. Kind of, you know, people talk like that back then too. And that's not a problem. But when Jesus comes along, it's interesting to me that oftentimes when people came to him, he never asked them to come. Oh, yo, miss. Jesus is minding his own business, and Andrew comes up, and then Andrew tells, and next thing you know, you got 12 people following you that you didn't ask to follow you. In our country, we call that stalking. And so here is Jesus is in the midst of ministry, and here's what you need to understand. I'm going to shift gears. Jesus said something that stops me in the midst of my investigation. While here in the text, pay attention now, and if you have one of those Bibles that gives you the headline of coming attraction, my Bible says Jesus' prayer of thanksgiving. Your Bible might say something along that. But here's what gets me. In the midst of devotional prayer, as my grandmother would say it, Jesus says and does something that knocks them right off their horse. Jesus knocks everybody in the room down a peg or two. What does he say, Betty? He says, Father, I thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever. Jesus just knocked some folk down. Now, here's what's happening. Jesus is in the midst of a really religious and pretty well-informed community. Jesus has been on a mission to Galilee. He's been moving around in the area. And these ain't no dumb church folk here. The people that Jesus are talking to are spiritual intellects. And Jesus says, Daddy, I thank you that some of these same folks sitting in here ain't got no clue what I'm finna talk about. Y'all ain't talking back to me. Jesus knocks them from their place of their pedigree and their pompness and their properness. And then he says something that I know makes smart folk mad. He said, I'm glad that folk who don't know a whole lot gonna get this. Nudge your neighbor and say, you gotta pick a side now. Yeah, you. Jesus says, thank you, Daddy, that those who think themselves wise and clever ain't going to get this. That's a preacher's way out right there. I'm going to remember that one from here on in, because from now on, when y'all ain't getting with what I'm saying, I'm going to say it's a verse 25 thing. I'm telling you now that Jesus said, watch this now. This is what really got me, Wanda. He said, and it pleased you to do it like that. See, y'all ain't. Jesus, that ain't common ministry right there. He said, Dad, I thank you. And some of these old highfalutin, I already know Bible study, I ain't got to go, and you ain't saying nothing, Reverend, I ain't heard before. Don't get it. Don't look at nobody right now. They'll think you're trying to say you hit you. He said, but I also know, Daddy, that you have a way of flipping the script and taking those of low esteem and giving them big chairs and a meal.
You have a way of taking gutter folk and making them penthouse folk. You have a way of taking dumb folk and making them smart folk, and folk don't even know what's happening in the room. Nudge your neighbor, says, call the move of God. Yeah, he said, Daddy, thank you. And listen, in the words of Enos, boy, howdy. I bet you that woke some folk up in the room then. I bet you that caused some folk who were playing church to start getting proper on church. What he does, watch this now. I like to look at it this way, Dr. Dixon. In that moment, it says Jesus is praying. And you know when folk pray, you know, we like close our eyes and all that kind of stuff. I bet some folk open their eyes then. I believe, Deacon Davis, this is the first institution of the watch and pray clause. Because when Jesus said, thank you for not letting some smart folk get this, some smart folk open their eye. Right over some of y'all head. See, some of y'all don't pay attention until something gets said that gets your attention. But I'm here to tell you now, the Lord just got your attention. He said, and Daddy, you let folk who not in the clique get the clique. He says that I'm still praying in a most reverent way. Jesus is still praying, eyes closed and head bowed in his most reverent praying voice. And then kicks him again by saying that you have entrusted everything to me. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm taking my church back. Y'all ain't talking to me. I'm taking my church back from folk who think because they give more money it's their church. I'm taking my church back from folk who think because you bought a pew, you own the whole church. I'm taking my church back from folk who think because you ain't got caught yet, you better than folk who made the newspaper. I'm taking my church back because everything is entrusted to me. Jesus is also saying, I can pick drunk folk to be deacons if I want to. I can pick whoremongers to be preachers and prostitutes if I want to. I have everything under my control. And Jesus then says, how you like me now? Because everything is entrusted to me. Look at this. I'm glad God do the picking around here. Yeah, I got to hurry along. He said, because, watch this now. He said, because nobody really knows how me and you operate. It's right in the text. He said, nobody knows the Father except the Son, and nobody knows the Son except the Father. And then Jesus said, let's click it again, except them folk that I let in on it. Yeah. Right along through here, Deacon Davis, it'd be a good time to ask your neighbor, are you in on it? I know. Just like me, when I was reading, I felt the shift in the room. Yeah, I feel a shift in this room. Yeah. Look at another. It's about to go down now. Watch this now. Jesus is talking about, now watch now, pay attention. Jesus spends the early part of the prayer thinning out the herd. When he said about smart folk, you know, smart folk got mad. When he said what he said about those folk who were wise and they got mad. And then Jesus says, and the folk of low esteem, them folk got happy. How many of you ever been in the church and when the sermon came your way, you got happy? You say, Reverend, I'm so glad you said that because I've been wanting to tell him that all my life. And so Jesus really has created division without division. Yeah. And can I tell you something? That works in every church. Because really, Jesus does not create any dialogue division that is not easy to overcome by dedication. Boy, you're the preaching fool. Jesus does not commit that. He doesn't create it. He doesn't say anything to Mika that ought to make him get up and leave. What he said ought to make him sit up and listen. Boy, y'all missed that too. Oh, a lot of Brookville folk done left here. Instead of sitting up and listening, they got up and left. I ain't said nothing wrong. I ain't closed my Bible. I didn't create heresy. What I'm telling you is, the Lord says, if you're going to be my companion, you got to understand the conversation and then get the commitment. What hurts us most is not what's said. It's what we don't understand about what's said. All right, here we go. We'll hurry along. Jesus says, Daddy, I thank you, and you've entrusted everything to me, and I'm shifting now because I'm taking away from them what they believe is church and giving them what is church. I'm taking from them what is tradition and giving them what is actual. Amen. Our God is not a God of tradition. Our God is a God of everlasting, everlasting eternity. He is God. And so Jesus says, you have chosen to do some things, and I'm glad to be in your service. Let me help you understand something. This particular community had some smart folk in it. They were not ignorant. They were folk who were well-versed in religious matters. And what Jesus is saying, Pat, that upsets them, if we were in modern church with Jesus right along through here, I guess we could say some of them ain't feeling Jesus. They ain't feeling, because Jesus is saying something. His style and his statements are unwelcome and unnecessary to them. And whatever he is preaching, they ain't hearing. And again, some of us have already tuned out. Come on, stay with me a while. These people were smart, well-to-do. Their money was strong. The economy was good. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's the problem. Because when we're doing well, we don't need Jesus. But God help us if we get laid off, or my child gets sick, or my husband oops upside my head, or my money gets short. Everybody want to run to the Lord when there's a shortage. But when everything is doing good. Did I make it too personal? Am I too close? Good, I'm getting closer. Jesus is not welcome, because they don't need him. That stuff Jesus talking about is passé to them. He don't know who he's talking to. You know, the Pharisees and the scribes thought that at Jesus once, twice. They looked at him and said, you do know we are the children of Abraham. And Jesus stepped back and said, you do know I'm Abraham's dad. Y'all don't know good preaching. Jesus is not welcome. The Romans have occupied their community, but they're still doing all right. And so when Jesus is talking about them, that ain't nothing we need. And not only, Reverend Uriel, is it not what they need in their estimation, it's not what they want. Let me help some of you right along through here. I know it's 1 o'clock. I heard the church bell go off myself. But let me help some of you understand something. You need to shift your life from only wanting to engage Jesus based on what you want. I don't want that. I don't care what they, I don't need no that, and I don't want none of that. Let me tell you something. The Bible says the Lord is your shepherd. If anybody knows what you want and what you need, you ought to turn it over to Jesus. Am I right about it? And so there he is. He has stoked the flame, and here's a free one right here. Whenever Jesus stoked the flame, our responsibility then becomes not to let the fire go out. Instead of getting mad and throwing a fit, we ought to get glad and throw up our faith. Amen. And so Jesus now, he says, listen, you all need to hear me. And I will tell you now that what Jesus does, Lady D, when he separates these smart folk from the not so smart folk, is to prove a point that I want to make here, and I'll shift into the preaching very quickly, is that you and I, here's a free one, tell your neighbor this free, you and I should never make the mistake of confusing human intellect with divine revelation. This is what Jesus told Peter. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Some of us think because we've been to colleges and universities and we got education and we marched across the stage with a little extra stuff hanging on our robe and they put our name in the annals of human history that we got it going on, and we can take what we learned at UVA and Virginia Tech and Florida State. Oh, excuse me, I didn't put that. And wherever you went, and then you think because you've been to a little school and they call you professor and you got some letters behind your name that you got this thing figured out with God. No. Human intellect is fine as long as you're human. But when you die as a human, there's going to be some divine stuff you better hope you know. Say amen, somebody. And so I want to give you a free one. So Sandra, write it down, give it to them. Whatever you have the privilege of knowing, what you ought to do is thank God that he let you in on it. Okay, 9 of y'all agree with me. I'm telling you now that that's what Jesus is exposing. He says because they thought they were well-to-do and had money and everything was going fine, that they know something about this thing. That they think that because their money is good, Jesus, all he does is relate to them an issue that God brought up in the old church. Here's what he said. God said, Miss Davis, when your cows get fat and your grain come in and your barns are full, don't you think by your own hands you've done that? Reverend, would you modernize that? Yes, just because you got promoted and drive a Benz and your children just graduated laude cum laude and you know everybody because you got promoted and you is now the H. Oh, you can't use that word. The H, whatever I see, wherever you is, you didn't get there by yourself. And just because you preached a good sermon at the convention and folk were slain in the spirit and they elected you pastor and gave you a little pay raise, you didn't get there all by yourself. Don't you ever confuse human intellect and ability with divine revelation. Because just like Grandma said, if it had not been for the law. So Jesus said, well, let me move along my tour. I got to hurry. It's right here in the text. Jesus has a way of ruffling feathers. And I believe, Sister Harmony, that good church ought to ruffle our feathers. Yeah, I think good church ought to make us kind of fold our arms every now and then just before we throw up our hands. That's a good ministry right there. We ought to fold our arms, suck our teeth, then throw up our hands and shout our praise. Fold our arms, suck our teeth, then throw up our hands and shout our praise. Fold my arms. Suck our teeth. Ooh. Ooh. Why? Because everybody need a little church it up. So Jesus does. He ruffled their feathers. And I can see some of them getting ready to go. Some of them put their pocketbook under their arms, you know, and they getting the kids together. They tell put their shoes on and all that kind of stuff. They done sign their little note. They done nudge in their towel. I'm out of here. Some of the men done tightened up their ties. You know, some of them that signed Jesus' check done sit there and say, he ain't getting paid this Sunday. I wish y'all would. No, I'm just saying. And so he says, watch this now. I'm going now. We're going. Here it is. He says, I know y'all upset. I sense it. But see, I know. This is what I know, Reverend Muriel. Jesus may cut us, but he don't never let us bleed out. Boy, that's a shout right there. You, Jesus gonna cut us, but he ain't gonna let us bleed out. No, so what he does, I gotta hurry. What he does is he convicts us, but Melvin, he also consoles us. It's like when your mama used to whoop you, and then try, come here, let me kiss you. I wish you would. Y'all remember that? You get a whooping in, now come here. You love on you. Ooh. How many know that's hard? And y'all ever had to have you get a whooping? And then they're going to look at you and say, stop that crying. Come on over here and eat some pizza. Fix your face. You don't want my face. You know. Jesus says, same thing mama them says. Look at the text. As soon as he finished, he says, come unto me. Jesus, you got to be kidding. You just insulted me with my smart self. I was in the elite part of the church. I'm a deacon around here. I'm a trustee around here. I'm the pastor. And then he says, come unto me. Come here, let me love on you. Oh, you that labor. You know, he said, I know y'all upset. That labor thing is, I know y'all upset. That's Jesus. He says, Deacon Anderson, he says, come unto me, all of you. What is he doing, Betty? He says, come here. I know what I said has given you some pause. Watch this. But how many know whenever Jesus gives a pause, he's going to give you power? Yeah, after every pause, he gives you power. He said, now take that what you just learned and run with it. Yeah. So Jesus says, come here. And he says, I want to give you something. Can I borrow a little of your time? Can I get 10 minutes? Thank you, Brother Thomas. You right on. Three things, and you can go. Jesus says, come here. I can hear him in my spiritual acclimation of his voice. I hear his voice shifting. He's gone from being Christ in authority to the Christ accommodating. I can see him. He has unfurled his eyebrows, and they have drooped ever so eloquently. His whole demeanor has become more disciplined. There's a certain demur to Christ now. When he says, come here. Just like a player back in the day, ladies, y'all remember the player? When the player would say, come here, girl. Let me holler at you. Come here, shorty. And you know you coming. I done lost the church. All right, back church. Jesus says, come here. Now, what is he doing? He wants to give him something. Three things. First of all, it's his presence that pleases us. Man, look. When I knew back in the day when I used to be in trouble, and I knew I was going to get a whooping, when my mama or daddy said, come here. It's how they said, come here. Y'all ain't talking to me. Some of y'all know when they said, if you don't get over here, you know that ain't good. But Jesus says, come to me. Watch this now. Here it is. And where my leader learners at? Leader learners, this one's for you. I'm telling you right now, in order to get the power to do the assignment, you got to first get in proper alignment. Woo, boy, you preaching. That the reason why some of us can have titles but not be able to help effectively grow the ministry is because we understand assignments, but we don't understand alignment. Notice, when you grow in the Bible, that everybody who stayed in alignment got greater assignments. Everybody who jacked it up got left. Jesus says, come here. And let me tell you something now. There are too many slick church folk trying to engage in the power of an anointing without having proper alignment. Tell you something now. There's some stuff, I tell you, don't confuse human intellect with divine thing. There's some things that we can make happen just because we can make it happen. If that boy got on the keyboard and started doing that little church thing, it might make the church seem like it's on fire. But it ain't. We can make happen. You do that little run, you know. If somebody, do that little church thing. And focus star, it sound like a church on fire, but ain't no fire if you don't have faith and alignment. And so Jesus says, my presence is pleasing. If you come with me, watch this now. When you come to me, you get who I am, because I got it to give. It's right in the text. Watch this. Here it is. He says, come to me. Two things you need to do. Two things. I'm going to hurry now. I'm shift real gear. Two things, Sister Scott. Two things. Presence is pleasing. Why? Because you can sit at his feet and stare at his face. Listen, you can change your whole relationship with God, the presence of God, if you just sit at his feet
and stare at his face.
Yes,
sir. Sit at his feet. Mary and Martha, you know the story. If you sit at his feet and then just stare on his face. Grandma and them taught you that song. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face.
Yes, sir.
The presence of God does something to us. Am I right about it? As I told you about my Aunt Elvita, it's just something about being in the presence of people who love what you love and listen to what you listen to. Back in the old church, they didn't have a TV in every room. Everybody watched the same thing. That's why all of us knew the same thing. And now Jesus is saying we got to stop doing multi-channel church. And everybody got to get back on one accord. Ain't but one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And all of us ought to be sitting at his feet and staring in his face. Because every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord is ministry. Every word, he said, listen, he that hath an ear, let him hear. But you can't hear me if you ain't near me. Please understand that the scriptures declare Jesus never shouted by megaphone. Jesus didn't have a PA system. Jesus spoke because folk were close enough to hear. So you tell your neighbors and friends who talking about they ain't never come back that we ain't mailing no ministry. Our church is a local church. And if you want to hear from the Lord, you need to come sit at his feet and stare at his face. And then Jesus said, when you do that, then I'll give you promises. He says, because if you got it, I can give you something for it. It's right in the text. He says, if you're weighed down, and a whole lot of us are weighed down, and then some of us are just weighed down. Jesus says, I know you're laboring. I know you're carrying a yoke. I know it's bothering you. He said, but I'll give you rest. Some have misinterpreted this scripture as to be the scripture of our final arrival in our place of emancipation and exhilaration that we'll finally be home. But no, how many know that you got to rest sometime on the journey? Man, you got to rest sometime. So Jesus says, you'll find rest for your soul. Let me see if I can get the young folk to help me. I'm feeling better now. In school, when they have fire prevention month, they have a little thing they teach you called stop, drop, and... Yeah, okay, y'all been to school. And so I want to use fire prevention month teaching to help you in the preaching. And can I do that right along through here? First thing I want to tell you is you got to stop trying to be all the world wants you to be. You got to stop trying to fit in everywhere and stop trying to be everybody's friend and stop listening to everybody's preaching and stop hopping around from church to church and stop letting folk put foolishness in your head. Two, you got to drop some of that craziness. You got to drop all of the unnecessary burdens that you carry. Drop that anger from 10 years ago. Drop that attitude you have because church going on a little longer. Drop the attitude that you have because the ministry don't say what you wanted to say. Drop it because they forgot to recognize your grandmama back in 1968. Drop. And then you got to roll. Roll what? You got to roll power Christ Jesus roll. Sorry, my tongue got stuck to the top of my mouth. I said roll power of Christ Jesus roll. You got to understand that you got to roll out the welcome mat and let Jesus into your life. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. And if anybody let me in, I'll come in. You got to roll out the welcome mat and let Jesus have your heart. Let Jesus have your praise. Let Jesus have your joy. You got to let him come in. Why? Because he's standing there knocking on the door of your life. You got to let him roll. You got to let him come in. Then he said, after you get rest, then we'll start our revival. Jesus says, we're going to pick up the pace of the church now because we've gone from being the church that thought it knew to the church that does know. David puts it this way. David, come on, help us. David said, God, if you'll just create in me a clean heart, then I'll serve you better. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time to serve him better. You got the companionship of God. You're hanging out with the Lord. And you got to understand that when you hang out with God, you got something to hang your hat on. You got a God who says, I'll give you anything you could ask, think, or imagine. And we got to stop sitting around in the church like we're in poverty, like we've been in prison, and like we're living that shackled mentality. He said, listen, we need a revival around here. We need to understand, beloved of God, that if we're going to have companionship, we've got to make sure we've got commitment. Jesus said, there's a whole lot of folk that started out with me that no longer walk with me. In fact, the Bible says, and they walked with him no more. Look at your name and said, are you going to leave? You need to understand. Don't be afraid to ask him. He said, listen, you got to have commitment, because it may get a little difficult around here, but trust me in this. There is no difficulty that I cannot overcome. He said, because I have already overcome the world, I'm going to give you back your joy. Because I've already overcome the world, I'm going to give you back your peace. Because I've already overcome the world. Yes, in this life you may have some trouble, but be encouraged. Get your joy back, because I've already overcome the world. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I know that's right, because I turn it over to the Lord and he made it all right. Jesus said, listen, when you come to me, I'm going to give you back your spring. I'm going to give you the right spirit, so that when you become a child of my presence and a child of my promise, the last thing he said, I'll make you a partaker. Listen, if you've ever watched National Geographic, when they used to have the program that comes on TV, you remember those men that would be working in the field, they would show them carrying large quantities of stuff on their shoulders. On National Geographic, they would carry what this item was called is a yoke. And there are two kinds of yoke in life. One yoke is a single yoke, and the other is a shared yoke. I'm feeling my help coming, Darcell. So in the National Geographic program, you would see those men and women with the little bow across the back and the string and two large barrels or buckets on either side, and they can carry large quantities because they put the yoke on their shoulders. That's a single yoke. But the shared yoke, you notice two work together with a shared yoke. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm going to be interviewing for shared yoke partners here, and so I need to know what your capabilities are. In other words, beloved of God, I hear Jesus saying that if you're going to walk with me, we're going to have to carry some stuff together. Because I want to walk with you, you won't have to carry it all by yourself. I just wonder, in my nosy state of mind, is there anybody up in Brookville today that's tired of carrying some stuff by yourself? Is there anybody in here tired of trying to carry your family by yourself? Trying to carry your finances by yourself? Trying to carry a job by yourself? Trying to pay bills by yourself? Trying to fix your church by yourself? Is there anybody in here tired of carrying it all by yourself? Then I've got some good news for you. Jesus says that you don't have to do it by yourself. If you come unto me because you're laboring and heavy laden, I will carry it with you. Jesus said we can share the yoke together. Look at your name and say, me and Jesus are a well-matched pair. We're a well-matched pair because Jesus is my rock when I find myself in a weary land. Jesus is my water when I'm thirsty. Jesus is my help when I need help. And I don't have to carry it by myself. I'm tired of dragging myself to church, dragging myself to jobs, dragging myself home, dragging myself in the kitchen. It's time to get my joy back. Look at your name and say, I'll never walk alone again, because Jesus has called me to companionship. And I'm so thankful this hour that the God I serve is a God that helps me go light. Look at another neighbor that you haven't bothered before and tell him, I'm about to go light.
Light means I'm going to have less struggle. Light means I'm going to have more strength. Because when two pull together, the weight is distributed and we can do more. Anybody believe around here that it's time to do more? Anybody around here believe it's time for the choir to do more? The ushers to do more? The trustees to do more? The deacons to do more? The preachers to do more? Then find you somebody and say, you got to pair up with me. I need somebody that's going to help me lift him up. I need somebody that's going to help me with a greater praise. I need somebody that's going to help me serve him better. And because I'm paired up with the Lord, we've got room for one more. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is faithful. I hear the Lord saying that when you come unto me, I'm going to lighten up your load and I'm going to help you carry that thing. I'm going to help you carry discipleship. I'm going to help you carry consecration. I'm going to help you carry prayer meetings. I'm going to help you carry those things you've been carrying too long. And so the Bible says that God is going to help us by pulling most of the load. That's why mama said you can turn it over to the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't mean to bother you, but I've just come to tell you I've got some good news. The God we serve says we can turn it over to him and he will make a way. The God we serve said that he's going to make it all right. But if you stay with the Lord, you got to stay in step. You got to stay in step. And so the Lord says, walk with me, serve with me, lift me higher, and I will make a way for you. I'll open doors that have been closed in your face. I'll give you peace in the midst of your battle. I'll give you hope when all seem lost, because I am the Lord. I'm a rock. I'm a bridge. I'm water. I'm help. I'm hope. I'm all you need. Anybody know that he's all you need? Can you tell your neighbor just one more time that I'm going to walk with the Lord? I hear the Lord saying, you and I make a good pair. You look like me. You walk like me. You talk like me. You sing like me, because you're mine. And I've come to tell you that I paid the cost. You can lift up your gates, lift up your head, lift up your heart, because all is paid. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm no longer bound. The Lord has set me free. My sins have been washed. My forgiveness is here. And because he lifted me, I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to stand in his presence and sing his praise. I'm going to tell him, thank you for saving my life. Thank you for turning me around. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for setting me straight. Thank you. Thank you. But more than anything, I thank you, Lord, that you hung, bled, and died. I thank you, Lord, that you stayed right there. I thank you, Lord, that you didn't come down. But more than that, I thank you, Lord, that early, early, one Sunday morning, he got up. Didn't he get up? Didn't he rise? Didn't he rise? Say yeah. Say thank you. Say glory. Say joy. Say peace. Say love. Say yeah. Say yeah. Because I'm committed. And I didn't get committed to be casual. I got committed to be combative. It's right in the text when Paul tells Timothy, he said, you got to be a soldier. Well, we going home or somewhere. But here it is. There is no companionship without commitment. Let me see if I can get me some help very quickly. Hand me that towel, please. I'm sorry, right there. Where my married folk at? Those of you who heard about marriage. We do this little thing called vows. You see, dearly beloved, we're gathered here in the presence of God in this company to bring together this man and this woman. You know, we do all that thing. And it's the commitment. Now, I won't start no trouble with nobody, Sister Scott. But see, folk who want companionship without commitment, they don't do the vows. They just do the shacking. I ain't starting no trouble. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. How many of you have been fooled by folk you thought were married because they've been together all that time? And then when one of them died or something happened, you found out they weren't married. And you said, what? All them years they've been together, they ain't married? No, child. So if you're going to have companionship, it's got to be some commitment. Amen. So Jesus says, if you're going to come with me, you got to be with me. And so you can't be connected without commitment. Okay, what are you saying, Pastor? The Bible says two become one. Jesus says the same thing. Jesus says, if you're going to be connected, it's by companionship and commitment. He said, my Father and I are one. Be one with us. So you got to be connected. You got to have companionship. You got to have commitment. But then Jesus also says, through the man of God called Peter, that you got to have consecration. You got to be holy. Now, this is not righteousness holy, because you wear white or wear long dresses, you know, and that kind of stuff. You put something on your head and you walk all somber. That's okay if that's what you need. I can tell you what, that's not going to get you into heaven. Whole lot of us going to get mad because we think our didn't do list is going to get us into heaven. And folk, what they did list is going to keep them out. It's going to be a whole lot of folk you thought weren't going to heaven that smoke cigarettes, smoke reefer, drink all night, party. But they work hard on repentance. Everybody need repentance. Ain't nobody perfect. Some of y'all think because you ain't never been to a party, you ain't never stayed out late, that you're going to just get in heaven because you good. Jesus even looked at that young boy and said, why callest thou me good? And so what we need to understand is that he requires commitment. Stay in the presence of God, just sitting at his feet, staring at his face. And then I slipped one off there because I was trying to hurry. But the other thing, if you sit at his feet and stare at his face, you got to surrender to his function. That was a good one, but I knew it would take me too long to explain. But when I mean surrender to his function, he says, you got to be doing what I'm doing. Can I tell you one of the reasons the church doesn't grow fast? Because we don't submit to his function. We try to do what we want to do all the time. We heard somebody else doing it in their church, so we try to implement. No, let's not implement. Let's just be obedient. Let's just be obedient. We don't have to keep trying to change and shift. You know, we done paradigm shifts. We done practical shifts, pragmatic shifts. We done shifted to the transmission known bad. Let's just stay in the road with the Lord. And so he says, you got to commit that. And then he says, I'll give you promises. Every one of you is a child of promise. Ain't nobody in here been cheated. Every one of you is a child of promise. And let me tell you something. If you feel like you've been cheated because the people you went to high school with have already married and got their jobs and done that, listen, you're still alive. That means you still got time. They ain't got no more time than you got, and they ain't got no more God than you got. All of us on a daily schedule with the Lord. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. So then, lastly, we can go home. If you stand with me, we're on our way out the door very quickly. Stand with me. He said, I'll make you partakers. Okay, I'll make you partakers. This is the critical one, trustees, deacons, ministers, lovers of God. This is the critical. You cannot be a partaker if you skip the first two. If you skip presence and try to devoid the promises, you can't be a partaker. You can't. Listen, being a Christian is not an a la carte ministry. You can't just pick the parts you like. Well, I go to church on Sunday, but I ain't going no Bible study. It ain't no buffet. How many of you ever realize that you can't eat everything on the buffet?
You can't. I don't care who you are. You listen, you might sample a little stuff, but you can't eat everything up there. Some people say, well, we gonna go, we might as well go, we can get our money's worth. Man, listen, buffet restaurants take my appetite. Not because I'm not hungry, but because when I see the way some people walk back to the table, I'm like, man, come on. Come on now. And so what I'm telling you is, you don't pick and choose the part. Do the whole thing. Jesus said, I'll make you a partaker. He says, and when you come as a partaker, I won't deny you any good thing. Now, who wouldn't want a life like that? So here's the roll. Here's the rub. Here's the rub. I'm sorry for the time. I can let y'all go. I'm so sorry. But if you've not accepted Jesus Christ, with three simple things understood, the last thing, Reverend, was the shout part. You know, after I got through preaching about presence and promise and partaking, I was going to tell you that the reward is you get a free pardon. I couldn't get to it, but that was the good part. I'll tell you, if you get a free pardon. Man, who don't need a free pardon? Let me see, anybody in here that don't think you need a pardon, raise your hand. I know I need one. Okay, let's do it the other way. Everybody in here who know you need a free pardon, raise your hand. Lord, see us. So if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, he says, come to me. It's verse 27 and 10. He says, come to me. I'm saying today, come to him. If you're in this room, I know you're ready to go, and I'm sorry. I do apologize. But if you're in this room and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would you come? Just say yes. This is not about joining Greater Brookville Church. This is not about any of that. That's really not important to us right now. But if we can get you to give your life to Christ, make the commitment, become partakers of the companionship, partakers of the promise and presence of God, you get your free pardon. But you got to come. You got to say, yes, Lord. If you're here today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity. Okay, let's bow our heads together. Father, in the name of Jesus, please help us to understand before we leave this room that all of what we do in the name of ministry, church, fellowship, whatever we call it, is about saving souls. The reason we have choirs and cushioned pews and carpeted floors and sometimes air conditioning is that somebody would say yes. God, would you search their hearts in this room for the yes? I really believe that there's still a yes on every given Sunday, on every Thursday, every Wednesday. I still believe there's a yes. Because you said until this gospel is preached in all the world, all the land, that you're going to hold off on returning until everybody has an opportunity to make their decision. Lord, we want companionship and you want commitment. There's nothing too hard about that. So God, today would you search the souls, the hearts, the minds of this people for the yes. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God, in this room, don't let them leave today without salvation being secured. It's not about membership in the church. It's not about anything like that, Lord, but don't let them leave today and not be in the redemptive order that is Christ Jesus. Somebody in the room is sick today. Somebody came because they've had some concerns about x-rays and test results are pending. So God, would you touch that body from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet? Somebody's still looking for employment. Somebody's still looking for what they lost in joy and peace. God, meet them in the place of their greatest need. A son, a daughter, a family has been torn apart. Something silly, maybe something significant, but would you mend that family today?
Somebody's going on a long journey. Give them traveling mercies today. Somebody, Lord, just doesn't know which way to go. Give them direction today. Somebody's so fed up, Lord, they can't take another ounce of foolishness. God, purge them today. Just exhaust all of that foolishness out of them. And let them know, Lord, that when you turn it loose, you got to walk away. Teach us to walk away, God. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day as our daily bread. Thank you, God, for the time we've shared together. And God, let us come back together again real soon. Thank you for our guest who came to share with us today. Old friends reacquainted and new friends made. And we'll come together again real soon. And Lord, we simply close like great grandma used to say, Lord, have mercy on me. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen, 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 and amen. Hug at least four or five people. Say something nice, something encouraging. If you can't come up with nothing deep, just say, God bless you. Go in peace. God loves you. Amen. Listen, those of you, if you have any concerns or questions or need some more information concerning the relay, I can